fantasy readers. This is Corinne Norton, your fellow book binger, and you are listening to the Finding Fantasy Reads podcast, where you can test out a new fantasy story every single week to find your next favorite author. Today's story pulls at the heartstrings with a girl on a mission to protect her younger sister, but there's also plenty of adventure. It's written by A.D. Euler, a best-selling author who loves helping others unearth the hidden treasures within. She completed her MFA in writing at the University of Nebraska, Omaha, and she was awarded their Graduate Research and Creative Activities Grant to learn blacksmithing in preparation for her upcoming novel. I kind of want to just pause and let that sink in. How cool is that? I Google stuff I'm researching for books, but she gets grants to learn an entire trade. That's some serious dedication. Stick around to the end or check out today's show notes to see where you can find more from the author. But for now, please enjoy A Tooth for Trulian by A.D. Euler. Shyla returned the vials and potions to their designated shelves and sat beside the hearth for a draft of honeysuckle tea. The crackling of the wood and the sweet smell wafting from the dainty white flowers floating in her cup always took her back to that day and her mother's smile before she and her sister, Trulian, left to collect the same blooms from a nearby field. It was a day she wished to forget, but she wanted to remember her mother's smile, her face, her love. In the early years after her village was burned, Shyla could see her mother every time she closed her eyes. But now, 6 years later, she was forgetting. The only way to bring her mother back to life now was the mixing of honeysuckle with the smells and sounds of burning wood. Whenever her sister delivered their potions to Nemo, Shyla desperately needed to remember life before her bonding with Nemo, who, in her great mercy, had saved Shyla and her sister from the uncertain fate of orphans. Still, even servants and slaves had more rights than bonded. Any unbonded could tell Nemo no, even if they rarely did. Part of Shyla was grateful, while the other part suspected Nemo or her green willow guard had set the fire. She had no proof, of course, and even if she did, there was no one to oppose Nemo and her guard, who were everywhere and nowhere, all at once. So bonded, they stayed. At 9 and 14, the sisters had been placed in the care of a bedraggled and inflated elixir trainer, Apollyon. They couldn't walk from the front door to the hearth without climbing over mountains of potions, ingredients, and all manner of books in his shop. It had taken them nearly a month to organize each salve, vial, herb, and book into designated spots. Trulian struggled with potions, while Shyla had surpassed Apollyon, so for the last 2 years, Shyla had become the primary brewer, and Trulian delivered them. Despite no problems, Shyla was never at ease waiting for her sister to return, especially when that delivery was to Nemo herself. And especially when Shyla had made substitutions in an elixir. She drank the last bit of her tea and washed the cup. She never knew why Nemo wanted the potions, although she had her suspicions. She knew never to question, only to obey. That was the power of the bonding, always claimed, never independent. She placed the cup on the mantel and fingered the small vase of delicate viola blooms, her sister's favorite. Trulian should be back by now. It had been nearly 2 hours since she left with the potion. The temperature dropped. Shyla's nails dug into the mantle beside the violas as the cold gripped her body. Nemo's hands combed Shyla's flaxen curls, intensifying her terror with every caress. Shyla's neck tensed. Her heart pounded. She searched the small potion's room. She needed something. Anything to ward against Nemo's specter. The dried herbs and newly mixed potions wouldn't help. Neither would the blade she used to cut the comfrey. No matter how real the caresses felt, she wasn't there. Not really. At least, Shyla didn't think she was. Shyla searched her memory. Had the door opened or feet crossed the floor? No. Nemo couldn't be here. It had to be a projection. Shyla needed something that would change the air, the fire. It was dying down, but the wood near the edge seemed to have enough flame to free her from Nemo's grasp. She lunged forward and bounced off an invisible wall. Pain shot through her scalp as she landed on her back. Nemo stood above, her blood-red lips turned down. Shyla tried to scramble backward, but Nemo's hands shot out, grabbed her hair, and yanked her up. Her stomach flipped. The potion.
I didn't have any wyvern fang. Apollyon said,
"That insipid beast knows nothing."
Nemo twisted her hand, wrapping Shyla's hair around it with each word.
"You will get the fang and recreate the potion, my dear."
The way Nemo said, "my dear," turned the needle pricks on her scalp into flames that burned to Shyla's toes. The involuntary shudder of her body sent a fresh wave of pain through her, expelling a satisfied grunt from her taskmaster. Nemo leaned close, hot breath on Shyla's ear.
"Let me remind you, chattel."
She flung Shyla to the floor like a rag doll and conjured an image of Trulian. The sight of her sister, with her red locks shackled in the dungeon, arrested any escape plan.
"If you don't," she smirked at the floating image, "I have plans for your sister."
The vision disappeared, and Nemo grabbed Shyla under the chin, bringing them face to face.
"I will return at midnight. The potion will be corrected if you want to save your sister."
She pushed Shyla back and disappeared.
Why had she listened to Apollyon? She should have known the wretched man would be wrong. But there was no time to point blame.
Only 8 hours until midnight, at least 2 hours to get to the magma pits, and 2 to return. Shyla grabbed her satchel and hastily flung in the blade, several potions, and an empty jar for collecting teeth before sprinting through the door. She only stopped when she reached the cliffs overlooking the magma pits just beyond the capital walls. The pause in momentum gave her body the seconds it needed to voice its complaint. Elixir designers didn't do much running. Her lungs burned, and her muscles ignited in miniature explosions. She instinctively bent in half, resting her hands on her knees before clasping hands above her head and filling her lungs as deeply as she could between coughs. Once she could breathe without coughing, she opened her satchel and took inventory. Gingerly, she set the empty jar and potions on the ground beside her. 5, only 5 potions. 2 that would momentarily stun the beast, 1 to paralyze it, 1 healing, and a memory-wiping potion. She sighed. Why hadn't she thought it through and grabbed more paralyzing potions? Only 6 hours to find a tooth, return to the city, and remake the potion. Her fingers probed the loose herbs and oils from her last excursion. Where did the blade fall to?
"What are you doing?"
The surprise of a voice, let alone a male one, made every muscle jolt, and she nearly dropped the satchel. But she managed to secure it and shove a hand inside. Her fingers continued stealthily hunting for the blade, sharp metal pressed into her shoulder.
"Hey, I'm talking to you."
She turned and faced her inquisitor, a boy a full head shorter than her. He looked about 15, like Trulian, but the 6 years Shyla had on him didn't settle her nerves. He had a sword, and she didn't. On his chest, the mark of Nemo. His azure hair looked familiar, but she couldn't place it. With his sword still aimed at her, he turned the tip and stepped toward her.
"Nemo sent me to get a wyvern's tooth," she blurted out.
"My mother loves sending servants to do pointless tasks."
"I am a bonding," she corrected.
"Oh."
He nodded, sheathed his sword, and stepped toward the pits.
"Sometimes I wonder what it would be like not having parents.
Was that pity in his voice? What do you mean, pointless tasks?
She has a chest full of wyvern teeth at the foot of her bed. You're her entertainment.
He bent over to pick up one of the potions she had placed on the ground beside her before his introduction rattled her.
I'm Jordan. You don't have to do everything she says. There are ways to shield yourself, even as a bonded.
He stood. She reached for the potion, but he yanked it back with a grin. It isn't just me I have to protect. He raised his eyebrows and nodded.
What's your name?
Shyla. She picked up the rest of the potions from the ground before holding out an open palm toward him. I don't have time to spit the gall with you. I need to get that tooth. She snatched the potion from his hand and started down the narrow path cut into the side of the cliff.
Wait! Jordan caught her. How? Do you even have a sword?
She stopped. That would have been a good tool. She clenched her fist and faced him. I have 5 potions and a dagger. I only need 1 tooth.
Well, you better not miss then.
He smirked and motioned to the pit.
There are 5 wyverns down there. Can you take on all 5?
He leaned against the cliffside and crossed his arms. Why did he keep shooting holes in her plan? No, she couldn't take on 5. She thought there would be only 1. She squinted at him. Was he playing with her, like his mother? He knew her bonding extended to him, and she couldn't refuse his request. Was he making a request?
How do you know they're...
I watch them. He looked at the sky.
Once I can mount one, I will ride it away from here.
Shyla scoffed. You would choose to live as an orphan when you have everything. You value nothing, it seems. He locked eyes with her, and she tensed. She was never good at holding her tongue with men, especially young ones. His shoulders dropped.
I am not my mother. I will not abuse your bonding.
Well then, she crossed her arms. What's your plan? It will be dusk soon, and unless you're the one who manipulates beasts... He looked to her right. Wait. She furrowed her brow and shifted into his eyeline again. You are. What are you waiting for, then? He pushed his shoulders back.
I can only work a single beast at a time, and I'm better the younger it is. These,
he motioned to the pit,
are a family, and they never leave the young ones alone.
Never?
She crossed her arms. Not long enough for me to get to one, anyway.
Why don't you use your mother's green willow guard to help you? He scowled.
I told you, I'm not my mother. I don't force people to do things or intentionally put them in danger.
How do you know they won't just help you?
He sighed. You're only here because she's forcing you. She probably has someone captive you care about.
She dropped her hands.
See?
Shyla gripped her satchel. Okay, I'll help. How do I get a tooth and you get some alone time with a wyvern? He stood straighter and grinned.
Might you have enough in there for a few sleeping potions?
Yes. A fire ignited in Shyla's mind. She couldn't believe she hadn't thought of it herself. They used the random potions she had grabbed in haste and the extra herbs from her satchel to make 7 sleeping bombs. It was better than none, but not by much. Jordan took a single potion so he could wield his sword if needed. Shyla put the rest in her satchel, took thin fabric scraps, and wrapped her hands. They'd put 4 wyverns to sleep before they could get airborne. Otherwise, any advantage Shyla and Jordan might have would be gone. If they timed it right, he'd have about 20 minutes alone with a young wyvern, while she'd grab a tooth and save Trulian. Plenty of time. After all, wyverns lost teeth every few years, so all she had to do was find one. They slunk down the cliff. Her ears twitched, and she held her breath every time their steps dislodged a pebble or snapped a twig. Jordan didn't seem as concerned and walked upright, almost skipping the entire way down the path. Shyla silently slid between the boulders and peered around each curve. No wyverns. Jordan jumped out onto a rocky divide and started yelling.
Shh!
She reached up to pull him down, but he jumped away. She tried to keep up with him, but he was more agile on the boulder tops than her heavy skirts allowed. A cross between a low growl and a loud rattle bounced off the rocks, and a burnt crimson wyvern emerged from the shadows. Jordan threw a potion ball. He missed, sending a plume of blue powder into the air.
Shyla, throw one! We have to get it before it flies!
Adrenaline pulsed through her as she ran toward the wyvern and ducked behind a rock in time to see flames push past on both sides. The heat curled the light hair on her arms into dark dots.
Shyla, now!
She popped above the edge of the rock to find herself two arms away from the fire-dripping face of the wyvern. She froze.
Now!
Jordan's call snapped her back, and she threw the bomb. A direct hit. The wyvern reeled and flailed before succumbing to the potion. One down. Relief mingled with excitement, making her steps surer.
Shyla, behind you!
She turned. Two more wyverns, one the color of burnt wood and the other of tarnished copper, headed her way. They moved like oil over the tops of the rocks, wings pulsing with each step of their front claws. What would they spit at her? She blindly groped for a potion in her satchel, slowly stepping backward. She couldn't take her eyes off them. Jordan flew through the air and hit one square in the face with the flat of his sword. The verdigris one still locked on Shyla. Its slinking became a run. She looked down and searched even faster for another bomb. Her backward collision with the sleeping wyvern sent her fingers into a fist around one. Rolling off, she launched the potion. It exploded in a blue cloud. She held her breath. She couldn't fall asleep, too. The wyvern reeled and stumbled around like a drunk soldier, tried to step on a rock, but slid to the ground in a heap. Two down. Jordan sprinted toward her, the charcoal one in close pursuit. He was out of potions. Grabbing a sleeping bomb, she waited till he was a few boulders away and tossed it to him before ducking behind a nearby stone. A loud thud, followed by a cloud of magma dust, engulfed her. Three down. Shyla peered around the boulder in time to see Jordan sprinting into the cavern's mouth. She followed. There were five. Skidding to a halt, she scanned the pit and the sky before stepping toward the entrance that swallowed Jordan. He emerged, luring the fourth wyvern from the cavern. It was a smaller indigo one, a few shades darker than Jordan's hair. Why wasn't it already asleep? And where was the last one? The image of a burnt crimson wyvern bursting through a blue cloud of smoke momentarily flashed into her mind. He may have had a sword, but he had lousy aim. She approached the cave's entrance, eyes still jumping from one crevice to another.
Go, hit the young one and get your tooth.
His eyes locked with his wyvern.
But go!
She ran in and hit the final cowering amethyst wyvern. The potion hit its shoulder. She dodged frosty breath. After three more close calls, it started stumbling and finally came to rest near the side of the cave. She grabbed the jar from her satchel, and it hit the ground at her feet. Her heart sank. Even one crack meant she couldn't use it to collect the tooth. She wiped her sweaty hands on her skirt, the fabric scraps almost saturated. Picking up the jar, she inspected every curve and edge. Confident it would hold the acid the tooth expelled, she twisted the jar upright in the soot at her feet and began searching. She ran to the farthest wall, never wholly turning her back on her sleeping foe. She didn't want to be surprised if it hadn't breathed enough potion. The dim light made it hard to see, so she stirred the soot with her foot, feeling for a hard tooth in the powder. Nothing. Not even a tiny pebble to give her false hope. Caution dissipated, and she sifted through the powder with her hands, working toward the entrance. Her desperation deepened, and her breathing shallowed. She crawled on all fours, sweeping her hands in wide arcs. She reached the purple mound and stopped. No teeth. Her chest tightened, and she stood, scanning the small cave. Turning back to the wyvern, she clawed at the powder cradling the purple scales. Only soot. Its tail shifted, and Shyla jumped back. Her gaze fell on its head, laying sideways, mouth open. She stepped toward its mouth and slipped her hand into her satchel. She had to get a tooth. Again, she wished she had brought a sword, but produced the 3-inch dagger instead. Pulling back the upper lip, she took a deep breath and reached in. She began cutting and digging the flesh around the nearest tooth. Her mind willed her hands to move faster, but everything felt like walking through mud while the blood and saliva made fast work of her cloth wraps. The burning acid made her bones feel like strings inside her arms, weakening her muscles. "Keep going, Shyla," she said, as if saying it out loud gave it power. She kept sawing the black tooth bed until the tooth moved, and she pulled it out. The wet pop of saliva and flesh filling the void snapped everything back to normal speed. How long had that taken? She sealed the tooth inside the jar and wiped her hands and dagger in the soot before tucking everything in her satchel. There was no time to waste. The fading light meant she would be running home by moonlight. Shyla ran back to the center of the magma pit and skidded to a stop. Jordan and his wyvern flew toward her like a bird flying into a storm. It banked so severely that she thought Jordan would crash to the ground just before it shot up the side of the cliff and disappeared in the darkening sky. She sprinted after him, wondering what it'd be like to fly away with Trulian, away from Nummo. But rocks and ash were a hazardous combination to dreaming and running. She face-planted, getting a mouthful of magma dust. The burnt crimson wyvern shifted and shook its scales. She pushed back up and hurled the last bomb at the beast. Her lungs burned. Near the top, she slipped, and her knee hit the ground. Pain shot to her hip, but the bone-shaking screech and crack of electricity splitting the air behind her pumped adrenaline into her system. She welcomed its numbing effects and how it chased any thought of resting from her mind. The trip back was painfully slow. She could have used a ride on Jordan's wyvern. Then again, manipulating a wyvern, even a young one, was almost more than Jordan could manage. Someday, they'd escape Nummo's reach. Fear pinched her throat. Her mouth went dry. She'd helped Nummo's youngest son run away. Had she sealed Trulian's fate while trying to free her? What if they never escaped? No. Focus. She shook the image of Jordan flying away from her mind and sped up her pace, leaning into the mind-numbing pain in her knee. It was dark when she finally pushed through the workshop door and collapsed on the table. Her breath escaped in shallow gasps. Save your sister. She stood. Light flashed behind her eyes. Squeezing them shut, she touched her knee. She could tell it was swollen through her skirts. She bent it. Nausea rippled through her chest. Grabbing a nearby mug of water, she splashed her face. Not water, vinegar. She gasped, spit, and wiped her face. She hobbled along the table edge to the cabinet and grabbed the healing salve. Sitting, she saw the bright red skin pulled taut from the swelling. She massaged in the salve and wrapped it before collecting the potion ingredients. Spike hog quills, finger root, Thelophonid venom, fennec blood, branchia, fire onion, swilk, water, and the tooth. Save your sister. Her knee gave way, and she collapsed into a chair. Squeezing her eyes shut, she rubbed her upper thigh. Each time she neared her knee, a flash of red lit the dark, followed by pricks of light. She rested her forehead on the table. The salve should have been working by now. It wasn't. She pulled her skirts up, removed the fabric, and applied more salve. Her knee had nearly doubled in size, her skin the color of Nummo's lips. The salve seemed to be doing more for the acid burns on her hands than her knee. Save your sister. The pressure had to be released, but the thought of cutting her own knee sent a new wave of nausea. Sitting back up, she closed her eyes and breathed deeply. She gripped the dagger with one hand and grabbed the table edge with the other. Taking a deep breath, she cut into the red flesh. A jolt of fire shot through her muscles. Her nails dug into the table as blood poured from her knee. She exhaled the pain, and by the time her lungs were empty, her knee only ached. Her grip loosened, and breathing deeply, she wrapped the wound. Now she could put weight on her knee. She moved slowly, but she moved. She crushed the spike hog quills, swilk, and wyvern tooth into a paste, set it aside, and started the water boiling over the fire. She hastily cut the fire onion and finger root, nearly cutting her finger. Once the water boiled, she tossed in the chopped ingredients and the branchia to steep. Over the candle, she warmed the thelophonid venom and fennec blood until it formed a viscous amalgamate. She removed the water from the fire and stirred in the thick liquid before adding the paste, making a lumpy, deep red mixture that smelled of decay with a hint of rose blossoms. She retrieved a clean flask, a funnel, and a piece of clean muslin to separate lumps from the liquid. There was no time to let the potion cool, so she gritted her teeth and squeezed the muslin ball of goo. A scalding blood-red liquid oozed out, dripping down her hands and into the funnel until the flask was over half full. The pain rivaled her knee, but she had to save her sister. She could treat blisters later. She tried to wipe the red stain off her skin without popping the blisters that peppered her palms and grew across the backs of both hands. Once stained, they never come clean. The fire flickered, and all the warmth was sucked out of the room. Midnight. Shyla turned to meet the black eyes of Nemo, who grabbed Shyla's hands. Not burned badly, she frowned. The scars will be minimal, but that red will stain the bone. Shyla looked away. Nemo gripped her chin and turned her head back, forcing their eyes to lock. You are stained. Something like a smile flashed across Nemo's face before she turned to the table and picked up the flask of foamy red liquid. She smelled it and swirled it like mulled wine. You saved your sister, Nemo said, and stepped toward Shyla, who moved the chair between them. Nemo chuckled and added, For now. She turned, a flurry of red and black fabric, and was gone. Shyla leaned on the chair, and her muscles shook. She sat before her strength could leave altogether. But then her eyes rested on the empty tooth jar. Trulian. She sprang to her feet, rushed into the night, and tumbled over a mass of skirts outside. Shyla rolled over. Trulian! She yelled, squeezing her arms around her sister. Shy, can't breathe. Shyla loosened her arms, and Trulian gripped tighter. Thank you. I hope you enjoyed listening to A Tooth for Trulian by A.D. Euler, narrated by Corinne Norton. If you want to read more by A.D., go to adeuler.com to find more of her books. Her debut YA fantasy romance novel, The Elixir of the Green Willow Guard, is Shyla's story, and it takes place 3 years before this short story. So if you want to know how she ended up where she is in this story, head on over to adeuler.com to find out. I'll be sure to have direct links in the show notes. And while you're clicking on all those links, make sure you hit subscribe for the podcast on your app. It lets you automatically download new episodes as they come in, but it also helps increase the podcast's visibility on podcast platforms, which helps both authors and listeners find the show. Long story short, it means the podcast can continue to give you more short stories for even longer. Thank you all for listening, and happy reading.